started back there, if you would, please, sir. I'm kind of curious about this message myself this morning. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I've been, for a couple of weeks, I've had this message on my heart to share, and we decided to go a different way the last couple of weeks before we came back to this particular message. And so about Thursday, I looked at the scripture, and I started reading the passage of scripture, and I thought to myself, what did you want to say about that? And I couldn't put two thoughts together. I couldn't remember anything at all about what the passage was so special when I read it several weeks ago. And so I spent Thursday and Friday, part of yesterday morning, wondering, what this message was going to be like. And then this morning, those of you that know me, you know that when Becky's not here, I am just out of sorts. I mean, Becky is just, she's two-thirds of me in this ministry. And so when she's not here, then I typically don't know what to do. So kind of curious to see what the Lord has to say to us this morning. But I'll invite you to open your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians and the 6th chapter. And let's read this passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, I ask your help, especially this morning, to share the Word of the Lord with the congregation here at Victory. Father, will be meaningful to each one of us, something that we can find application for our own life, to make a difference in the way that we live and in the victories that we receive, that our lives might truly and fully bring glory and honor to you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's start this morning just by reminding ourselves what we've been talking about over the last several weeks as we've been dealing with the issue of faith and living by our faith in every day, having a faith that makes a difference in our lives, a faith that is the basis of all of the choices and decisions that we make in life so that we're really living for the Lord every day. And what we're going to find out in this passage of scripture that we've read here today, and as we look through it fully, we're going to find out that there is an enemy who wants to try to steal our faith away from us, okay? And so the Bible teaches us that God has prepared us for victory, and He has prepared victory for us. In fact, if we understand it, if we properly understand it right, the spiritual war that Paul describes for us in this passage of Scripture, when we're war against the enemy and he against us, we are actually fighting, listen to this, we are fighting from victory. Please hear this. Please hear this. The victory already belongs to you, okay? The war essentially has already been won through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the devil's coming along trying to steal what God has provided for you. So in essence, see, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And we're fighting to protect what the Lord has already provided and already given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We found out in a lot of the scriptures that we've read over the last several weeks, we found out that God wants us to be winners in life. God wants us to win in every area of our life, on every front of our life. That's why the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, it says, thanks be to God who always called, always, catch that word, that's a good word, always, not sometimes, not part of the time, not half the time, but always leads us in His triumph. Okay? So God wants us to be winners. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And on and on and on the scriptures go. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the whole Bible is written to us that we might know the Lord, that we might know His plan for our life, that we might know how to experience the victory that's prepared for us. Let me read this passage for you just real quick from the Old Testament. And as I read this from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 28, I understand this is Old Testament scripture, but this is Old Testament promise that belongs to you and me. Okay? Won't you hear that today? These Old Testament promises will ultimately find their fulfillment in your life and in my life because of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, the scripture says, Paul says there, for as many as are the promises of God, in Christ is our yes and our amen. So be it. The word amen means so be it. You understand that? You may have said that word all your life and didn't know what it means. It means so be it. So be it, God. What I prayed, let it be. Let it be. And the scripture tells us that the promises of God are ours in Jesus. Now listen to what he promises here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'll just start in the first verse. And I want you to grasp the idea of victory and success, because I think we sell God short. I think we settle too much as Christians in this life. We settle for compromise and, you know, a little victory, a little defeat. Little success, little failure. Little up, little down. And God wants us to be winners all the time. Listen to this. It says in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, God says to the children of Israel, He says, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high, high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Wow. And overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Have you ever been overtaken by a blessing? God wants to run us down with blessings. Listen to what he says here. He says, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your field, the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. I'm either coming or going. And he says you'll be blessed either way. You'll be blessed either way. He wants to bless us in every way. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. And we're talking about that this morning. We're talking about our enemy who is constantly rising up against us. And if we're servants, listen, if we're serving the Lord faithfully, then we're becoming strong in the Lord and the enemy will have to flee. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee from you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to do. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. And I just want to say something about that verse there, but this is the ultimate reason why God wants to bless us as His people in the earth. God certainly does want to bless us, and He wants us to be filled with the peace and joy of the Lord and these kind of things. But ultimately, just so I don't run out of time and don't get to say it later, ultimately, everything God wants to do in your life and my life, yes, it's to bless us, but it's to make us a witness for other people to see the goodness of God. Because there's a world out there that's hurting, guys. There's a world out there that needs to know that somebody cares. They need to know that there is a good God who wants to take care of them and bless them and save them from whatever it is they're going through in their life. And when you and I walk in the victory of the Lord, then we demonstrate the goodness of God to them. They see how good God is. So when we walk in obedience to the Lord and the blessings of the Lord begin to come, we become witnesses for the Lord. A lot of Christians will say this. Well, I'd like to be a witness for Jesus, but I just don't know what to say. I just don't know how to go about it. I wouldn't know what to say to anybody to tell them about the Lord. This is why we need to live in victory. It's why we need to walk faithfully before God and experience His awesome power in our lives. Because when we do, brother and sister, we've got a testimony. He gives us a story to tell. When you're living your life and your marriage is just a wreck and you and your spouse come to the Lord and God begins to heal your relationship and He makes that marriage everything that it ought to be, then others who are going through a difficult marriage can look at you and say, hey, there is hope because of what I see in this relationship over here. If you're going through a hard time financially and you become faithful to the Lord in what you're in good stewardship and giving to God what belongs to God, and as you give to God, God begins to give back to you and you get your financial house in order and all of a sudden people look at you and there you were struggling and there you were, you couldn't get by and you didn't have enough to do anything with and all of a sudden bills are being paid and now they're looking at you and you're actually giving money away to be a blessing to other people and they look at you and say, there's something different about that person's life and there's hope because I'm where that person was and now I see where I can be. And they come to you and say, well, how did you get yourself out of that financial trouble? And you can say, you know what? God's a good God. And I just began to give to the Lord. I began to bless others in the name of the Lord. And God began to give back to me. And now I've got enough to continue to give and do things. Whatever God does in your life, it gives you a story. It gives you a testimony. Whatever tragedy, whatever struggle. And we all go through struggles. We all go through difficult times. There's not a one of us in here who hasn't been through some kind of a struggle, some kind of way. You know what most of us think? Most of us sit here today and we think, my life is a wreck, and everybody else's life is so wonderful and awesome, and I don't understand why I'm having so much trouble. And the truth, and see, that's just the devil playing on your mind. That's just the enemy coming against you. Because the truth of the matter is, we all go through struggles. We all go through difficult times. But praise God, if we go through them with the Lord and we face the enemy in the strength of the Lord and not in our own strength, then we overcome and we walk in some victory and we become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be a witness for Him. And He wants us to live victoriously so that we can be a bright light and a shining witness for Him. Now back over to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at this passage for just a few moments. The whole Bible is given to us by God so that we can know Him, know His plan, know His ways, know what He wants for us as a people of God, know the things that He's willing and able to do for us. The book of Ephesians is just another one of those books that gives us the teaching of the Lord to know how to live our lives. Ephesians, the first three chapters, are just rich with theology. One of the best books in the Bible to do a Bible study on is Ephesians, just rich with theology. Then you get to the fourth chapter, and there's just, from chapter four on, there's just all of these little tidbits of wisdom and knowledge as to how to live the Christian life. He says, for example, in verse 2, he says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, show tolerance for one another in love. Okay? So we're to walk in love and give people the benefit of the doubt and be patient with one another and be humble and gentle with one another. In verses 17 and 18, he tells us in those verses, he says, don't live like the world because the people of the world have excluded themselves from the blessings and promise of the presence of God. So don't be like them, he says. In verses 28 and 29, he says, let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. And on and on and on he goes through the fourth and fifth and sixth chapters. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be submitted to your husbands. The children, obey your parents. Parents, don't exasperate your children. And on and on and on he goes with all of these instructions of how to live the Christian life. And then he comes to the passage we read this morning. And the reason that this is so important that we understand this, and it's this. All of these things that we would probably really like to do, how many of you would be willing to admit this morning just to yourself, if not everybody else, that you don't often find yourself doing these things that you'd really like to do? Walking in the love, walking in the forgiveness, always being kind, always being gentle. You know, how do you respond when people do something to you, say something about you? You know, our response should be one of love, should be one of compassion, should be one of understanding. We don't always respond that way, do we? Thank you, Jim. We don't always respond that way. We typically have other responses, much more harsh responses when people offend us or say something about us or somebody that we love or whatever. We don't always respond this way. And so in all of these instructions, in the midst of everything that he said about how we're to live the Christian life, he makes this statement in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And brother and sister, I want to tell you, that's the key to doing everything else he said. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life, is the key to doing everything else that he tells us to say. Because frankly, human nature doesn't want to do all of these other things. Human nature tends to be selfish, tends to be greedy. You know, it tends to look out for number one and gets angry with others who won't cooperate and all of these kinds of things. In fact, let me just share with you from the book of Galatians, just one book to your left there. From Galatians chapter 5. Talks about our human nature versus the new nature that God has given us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they are in opposition with each other. Let me just tell you what that means. What that means is that our human nature and the nature of God are in conflict with each other. God wants us to be compassionate. God wants us to be loving and kind. He wants us to be patient. But our human nature says, you know, look out for number one, take care of yourself, pop off at whoever says anything to you, you know, don't hold back, be angry, all of these kinds of things, be greedy, be driven by lust, whatever it is, all of these things that are contrary to the way of God. And what that means is, listen, what that means is that our human nature is at odds with the Spirit of God who lives within us. And so there's naturally a struggle that goes on between our spirit and our flesh. But then he goes on to tell us over in Ephesians chapter 6, not only do we have to deal with our flesh nature, but we have another enemy. Another enemy who is always on the ready, and his desire, as Jesus tells us, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me just tell you what I see in this verse, in this passage that I read today, what God is telling us in this passage of Scripture. God is telling us simply this: always, always keep your guard up. You've got an enemy who at any moment can launch an attack against you. You know, the United States, over the last 20 years, we have become well aware of the need to always be ready for a terrorist attack. at any moment from anywhere, something can happen. And we've trained ourselves to be aware of that reality and to be prepared as best we can for an attack when it comes. But what Paul is telling us in this passage of Scripture is the same thing on a spiritual plane. He's telling us that at any moment there is an enemy out there that might launch an attack against you in order to try to get you off of faith and to get you from trusting God so that He can pull down your defenses, come into your life, and wreak havoc there and bring destruction against you. Okay? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But if He can get us to doubt, if He can get us away from God, if He can get us to trust other things instead of God, then He's got us beat. Because only God can defeat him. Do you understand that today? Do you understand that only God can defeat the devil? You can't do it. I can't do it. We need God to do it for us. He has. But we need to walk in what He's done by being completely and totally surrendered to Him at all times. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to share with you this morning. I shared with you last week a story of a personal struggle that I had concerning an automobile that I dinged up. Remember that story? Went over to the hospital, went in to see somebody at the hospital, and as I got out of the car, the wind just jerks the door and away from me, and it just dings the car right next to me there. Right away, spiritual conflict began to take place. In my heart said, you need to own this. You need to do the right thing. You need to be responsible. But then I began to hear other things in my mind. Well, your car's been dinged up before. Well, if your car didn't do it, somebody else's car probably would. If you just drove away real quick, nobody would ever know it was you. You know, all of these things. And I mean, you know, it's funny, but listen, this is really the spiritual war that goes on in our mind as the enemy. Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6 there. He talked about being able to extinguish all of the flaming missiles of the evil one. And what I want you to understand is that all of those thoughts, all of those temptations to do the wrong thing, every one of those thoughts is just another flaming missile of the evil one to try to get me to do the wrong thing. Why? Because if he can get me to do the wrong thing, first of all, as I said last week, my heart grows hard toward the voice of God. See, it's God who's trying to tell me to do the right thing. But if I don't listen, my heart's going to grow hard toward God. It's going to be harder to hear God the next time. But if the enemy can talk me into getting into that car and driving off, here's what I'm saying by driving off. I don't trust God to take care of me in this situation. I need to take care of myself. See, now I'm not trusting in God anymore. I'm trusting in Ken. And that's just not going to work. That's not going to stand. It's only trusting in God that will give me the victory. And so I took my card out and I didn't even realize how much I was trusting God till I got home and Sean told me. Because I didn't take a picture. I had my phone, camera, and everything, you know, and I didn't take a picture of the little ding I put in that door or anything. I just took out a business card. I put it back, I said, call me about the door. Put my phone number on the card, put it on the windshield, and I left. Well, Sean tells me when I get home, he said, Pop, you know, that guy could have took a baseball bat to that door, and he's got your signed confession on the back of that card that it's your fault. And I never thought it through, but he could have. Thank God he didn't. The guy and my kids were asking me about the story, so I'll just finish the story for you this morning. I got a call later on that afternoon. This guy calls, and he says, I need to speak to Ken. I said, yes, Ken. I got a card, something about my door. I said, yeah, I apologize. I dinged your door in the parking lot there. And he said, well, I looked at the door, and I couldn't see anything on it. He said, I don't see what's there. I said, well, it's on the driver's side back door. I said, it's this little ding mark where my door hit it. And so he said, I appreciate the card. He said, I didn't see anything. I'm going to go look at it again, see if I can find anything. But I don't think there's anything wrong there. If you don't hear from me, don't worry about it. And so I never heard from him again. But like he said, he could have gone back out there with a, you know, This guy's already admitted he did something to my door. Let's kick your door real good and we'll get a new paint job on the whole thing, see? Thankfully. But see, when you trust God, see? When you trust God, God will take care of things for you. And you know what? Even if the dude had taken a baseball bat to that door, God can pay for that. God can pay for that. And we need to learn to trust God no matter what we're going through. No matter what the circumstances are, excuse me. we need to trust God. This is the spiritual battle that we go through. Jesus said the devil is the master deceiver. He is the father of all lies. And he is always, always, always lying to us. And we need to keep our guard up. It's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion who is prowling about seeking someone he can devour. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for somebody who's put the guard down. He's looking for somebody who has opened the door. If I had just driven off and not been responsible for what I did, I'm opening the door for the devil to do something else in my life, you see. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, give no place, give no opportunity, no foothold to the devil. Walk with God, do what's right, keep your guard up, and do what's right before God, and trust God to take care of whatever situations come down the road. Because the enemy is a liar, and he lies constantly to us to try to steal, kill, and destroy, and keep us from walking in the blessings that the Lord has for our lives. He lies to us about who we are and what we can do. He lies to us about what's right and wrong. Please understand, brother and sister, right and wrong is not decided by popular vote. Okay? What the Word of God says is right, and what the Word of God says is wrong, and it's just as simple as that. And it's why you and I need to know, he says, the first piece of armor we need to keep on. And understand what's happening with Paul. Paul writes this letter that we call the book of Ephesians. He writes this from a Roman prison, okay? And so Paul is sitting there, and it's sort of a house arrest situation, but he has a guard who is with him all the time. And Paul is sitting there, and he's writing this letter to his friends in the city of Ephesus, and he looks over at the guard who's sitting there keeping an eye on him, and he sees this guard, and he sees this guard wearing all of this armor, and he realizes this guard has got all of this armor on so that he cannot be defeated by his enemies. And as he sees that, it strikes him that as believers, we need to wear armor to keep ourselves from being defeated by our enemy. And so he looks over at this guard and he sees all of these pieces of armor that he's got on, and he begins to relate different pieces with different truths and facts that we need to be aware of as Christians so that we aren't defeated by our enemy. And he sees this guard sitting there and he says, one of the pieces of armor that we need to wear as children of God is the truth. Is the truth. Jesus told the Father in his prayer in John 17, he says, sanctify the church in the truth. Your word, Father, is the truth. Your word is the truth. And that's why you and I need to be familiar with the Word of God. We need to be familiar with the truth of the Word of God, because the truth of the Word of God teaches us the difference between right and wrong, so that when the enemy begins to speak to us, we can discern right away what's the voice of God and what's the voice of the enemy. And the temptations and the lies that the enemy brings to us, we can identify them because we know the truth. And by knowing the truth, we've got our guard up. We're protecting ourselves against the lie of the enemy. He lies to us about our worth, our value. He's lied to some of us to give us an opinion of ourselves that is higher than it ought to be. In other words, he's made some of us proud. He lies to most of us by telling us we're just no good. We're worthless. We're useless. And the truth of the Word of God is that we're all precious in the sight of God. We're all valuable in the sight of God. That God has a purpose and plan for every life. And no matter what it is you're going through, whatever the struggle is you're going through, that purpose and that plan is still intact. And if we'll come back to following God, God can still fulfill it in our lives. He lies to us about our value. The old children's song is right. Red, yellow, black, white. We're all precious in God's sight. And we all have value. All life has value. All life. Regardless of color, regardless of age, young or old. Listen to me. Born or unborn life has value in the sight of God. It all has value in the sight of God. Speaking of unborn life, it's just fascinating to me that at this stage of our journey, we still are afraid to admit in our society that an unborn child is, in fact, a child, a human being. And what's really amazing to me is this, is that many years ago, when science, for the very first time, were able to take an egg and fertilize it in a petri dish, you know what science declared? We have created life in a test tube. They called it life. But today, they don't have the courage to stand up and say an unborn child is a living thing. It is alive. It just amazes me. It all has value. Every life has value in the eyes of the Lord. Every life has purpose. Every life has potential. The devil lies to us about our potential. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're not good enough to do that. You'll never accomplish anything. Listen. You and God can accomplish anything. Because nothing is impossible with God. And as long as you're walking with the Lord, all things are possible, Jesus said, to those who believe. The devil lies to us about what we're going to accomplish, about our value, about who we are, about all kinds of things, about what's right and what's wrong, and all of these things. The struggles that we go through in life, he lies to us and says, you'll never beat that. Nobody's ever beat that. You'll never beat that. Or if you do beat it one time, the next time he'll say, you'll never beat it. You may have won the last time, but you'll never win this time. And he's always, always lying to you, trying to convince you that you cannot win and will not win, and that you will be defeated, and that you need to stay discouraged and depressed and all of these kind of things. And God wants to set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God wants to liberate us and set us free to experience life in all of its fullness. And we don't have to resign ourselves to being miserable, no matter what's happened to us. No matter what's happened to us. The devil convinces us that the things that of our past, the things that happened to us in our past, things maybe we did in our past, the devil tries to convince us you can never get away from that. That thing will haunt you all of your life. It has to control you all of your life. And I want to tell you, brother and sister, that's a lie from the devil. It does not. Your past, listen, your past does not have to determine your future. God will determine your future if you'll give your life to God. And God can take anything that has ever happened in your life. Well, brother, John Osteen preached a message years ago, and the title of the message was The God Who Wastes Nothing. And just the message, just the title of the message when he said it just went through me. To know that God can take anybody, anywhere, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of what's ever happened in their life, regardless of what they've been through, God can take any person and make gold out of them, make a gem out of them, and make them so precious and valuable and accomplish so many great and awesome things because of God, not because of us, but because of who God is. But here's the thing. In order to get there, we need to keep our guard up. We need to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in ourselves, not trusting in ourselves, not counting in ourselves the way most of us do. You know, I can handle this. I'll take care of this. Everything's good. Look, we need to trust the Lord in everything and for everything and lean into God, because we have an enemy who can defeat anything but God. But we have God on our side. And so with walking with the Lord and leaning into the Lord, you and I can have the victory over the enemy. And so we need to put on the full armor of God and be protected. We need to put on the truth of the Word of God. Verse 14, put on the breastplate of righteousness. One of the things the enemy does to us when we go to the Lord in prayer is to try to convince us, you're not worthy to come before God. You're not worthy to talk to God. God's not going to listen to you. God doesn't care about you, and all of these kinds of things. And we allow ourselves to be condemned in our own heart when we come before God, and it robs us of our faith to believe that God's going to hear and answer our prayers. And so we need to put on as a breastplate, we need to put on the righteousness of God and realize that God gives us as a gift righteousness so that we stand before God as though we never sinned. What an amazing gift that is, that God counts us as righteous in His sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us this. It says, He who knew no sin, speaking of the Lord Jesus, became sin for you and I, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. God looks at you and me today through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He sees the forgiveness of God, and He sees us as though we had never sinned, standing before Him. Did you know that the book of Ephesians and other books in the Bible are written, listen, written to the saints of certain cities? You ever thought of yourself as a saint? Oh, dear God. Most of us would choke saying the word. But God looks at us and He sees us as saints, holy ones in His sight. Not because of us, but because of Him. And because of what He did. You and I need to be aware. My time is gone. You and I need to be aware that as we go through life, God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to be champions. He wants us to be living witnesses of His glory and His power by the good things that He does in our life. We need to understand there's an adversary. There's an enemy out there who wants to steal our faith and rob us of God's blessings and keep us defeated and keep us depressed and keep us from looking forward to anything and feeling hopeless all the time. But God. But God. God wants to renew our hope. He wants to renew our strength. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to lean on Him and walk in the victory that He has provided over the spirit of darkness. I haven't got time to share it. We'll have to pick this up next week. God wants you and I to be strong in the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, that can give us victory on every front in our lives. Father, I pray today that You would help each one of us to comprehend what You have done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in bearing the penalty of our sins so that we can be forgiven, in breaking the power of darkness over our lives so that we can be free, in making us new creatures by Your Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and by giving us a brand new life through faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Lord, I pray. I pray for my congregation this morning that You would, through this simple message, God, that You would stir in all of our hearts a hope, an expectation to see the good things of a mighty God being expressed in our lives for the glory of God. We thank You for all of the great blessings that are promised to us in the Scriptures. Lord, our desire is to live in such a way that our lives please and honor You that opens the door for your favor in our life. And we know it can only happen as your Holy Spirit works mightily within us to change us, to heal us, and to renew us, to give us power for living every day. I pray, Father, every day we'd get up and we'd put our armor on and we would lean into the Lord and we would trust Jesus every day for everything. And we thank you for the victories that we will receive through every struggle, through every trial, with every temptation. We thank you that victory awaits us as children of God. Bless you, Lord. Let's stand together, staying in an attitude of prayer for just a moment. Hope. Hope. Dare to hope, church. Dare to hope in God. God's a good God and He's on your side today. God has a victory for you today. God has a victory for you. Thank you, Lord. Jim, I'm going to ask you if you would please to stay here at the front of the church. Usually I invite you to come to the front and let me pray with you about personal things. I want to get home and check on my wife. I think you can understand that. Jim, I'm going to ask you if you would please to stay at the front of the church. If you have personal needs today that you would like for someone to pray with you about, something personal in your life today, something specific in your life today, Jim will be here at the front of the church to pray with you about those things. If there's something else that we can do for you in the course of this week, please, if you'll let us know, if you'll text or email or call or whatever, let us know. We want to be there for you and help you to find the victory that God has for you in your life. Let us know throughout the week. If Jim can pray for you this morning, please come after the closing song and allow Jim to pray with you about those personal things in your life today. Let's sing and we'll be dismissed this morning. Thank you so much for being with us today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thank you for your patience and for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord.